It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 10th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you want to live in the autonomous vehicle future, you just have to head to San Fran, just kidding, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. At least this is where Uber has been deploying its self-driving cars in a limited area and with human minders and real human customers. Thing is, like any young driver, autonomous vehicles have to learn, and sometimes part of learning is the occasional fender bender. Allison Griswold of Quartz has been in Pittsburgh following all of this. Allison, you've been reporting on a few of these accidents.
So I was watching reports, one from an Uber driver in Pittsburgh that said, hey, the other day I was pulled over to the side of a road, and I saw one of Uber's self-driving cars turn the wrong way on a one-way street.
Admittedly, something humans also do.
Admittedly, something humans do all the time. But what was unclear, it was at night, and he was sort of watching from a distance. He said, basically, he saw the car turn, he saw the driver take control, and sort of wave to him as this mutual acknowledgement that an awkward thing had happened.
Yeah, my bad.
Exactly. He couldn't tell if the car was in control when it made the wrong turn, or if maybe the driver was operating it all along and it was just human error.
What should actual human drivers and pedestrians be thinking about as we see more and more of this on the roads in real life?
They certainly aren't going to be out in full force for a long time.
Sure.
When they ultimately are, I think one interesting thing will be how the power between pedestrians and cars works. Because if you think about it right now, pedestrians have the right of way, but you never really know for sure that someone will stop. With self-driving cars, in theory, they could be programmed to just slam on the brakes if there's a human in their way.
Right.
And so then you have to ask what happens when you have anything that could sort of hold up traffic that would be both beneficial because no one's getting hurt, but that a human could negotiate the situation, and a car that is just a machine might not be as well equipped to do that.
Allison Griswold of Quartz, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
National Taco Day and National Donut Day are important, sure, especially to yours truly. However, this month is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. In light of recent news that Yahoo may have built a program for large-scale email surveillance by the government, we figured we'd call up Chester Wisniewski of the cybersecurity firm Sophos to talk about trying to keep your communications private. Chester, how the heck are you?
I'm well, Ben.
So there are people who have been using Yahoo for email for so many years, and if they're interested now in learning about more secure email options, do they have any?
There are, you know, there are companies that specialize in providing pay-to-play type services, and you know, those organizations can provide some level of integrity, but people have to remember that most of the cases we hear about email being broken into in particular is related to bad passwords, right? So the most heavily encrypted email is only useful if you protect it with a very secure method of access.
Tell me about some of these messaging services. What specifically is out there that folks might use to encrypt all of their messages or encrypt them as well as possible?
Well, I think what most people are doing, in lieu of email, folks are looking at secure messaging solutions instead, right? And so there have been some things like text message replacement applications like Signal from Whisper Systems that by design, only you and the person receiving the message can see those texts.
How long does it take someone to move all their contacts or even email archives to a more secure messaging service? That would be a pretty big job, right?
I kind of move across one by one because I don't want to share my entire address book with any company or organization out there. And, you know, that level of paranoia makes it a little slower.
You've got your own server, right?
Yeah, I run my own mail server. I trust no one.
So that's an option too. How much does that cost you?
About $10 a month for the basic computing required to do that. I mean, it's not necessarily a dollar cost, but sadly it is a knowledge cost. And if you don't have the knowledge, then the dollars start to add up.
Chester Wisniewski, principal researcher at Sophos. Chester, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
If you talk to people working in the new industry that is virtual reality, they will tell you it's just around the corner. Talk to somebody on the outside and they might be a little bit more skeptical. Factors like cost for the consumer, the need for higher computing power, and just understanding how to use a virtual reality headset are all hurdles. Well, PlayStation VR is trying to clear these hurdles. Sony is jumping into the game this week with the release of a headset that is connected to the company's PlayStation 4. Even if you have the console, it's still going to set you back several hundred dollars for the tracking camera, the headset itself, the controllers. Sony sent Marketplace Tech the full setup for a review, so I called up my buddy Rory Panagotopoulos, a PlayStation user and video game enthusiast. The setup was pretty quick.
I think it's officially plugged in.
It's officially plugged in? How long did that take us? And we were going very fast, and yeah. You have done this before.
Well, I've set up a regular PlayStation. So
That took us 21 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not... We're actually...
From taking the box out to being completely set up.
Admittedly, nothing is on yet.
We don't know if it works.
And we powered up. Once all the new software was downloaded and plugged in, PlayStation VR worked well, and the game demos you start out with were pretty fun, if kind of intense, like the classic and quite updated for VR tank game Battle Zone, where there's a lot of strafing, as in moving side to side in the game.
Oh. Strafing will save you. It will also make you a little bit dizzy. I'm in this huge... Oh, jeez. You can't really stop and smell the roses, at least not in this demo.
The headset comes out this Thursday. If you want a bit more of a review from me, you can head to marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.